B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
We're 12 seconds left. Frozen on the clock in Denver in this AFC Championship game. It's 2018 Denver. Can Brady and company force overtime again at Sports Authority Field? Two receivers flank left. Edelman in short motion from the right. Gronkowski at the tight end right. Brady takes the snap. He rolls to the right. He throws to the end zone. Tipped high in the air. And the ball's going to be intercepted. Running back left to right is Bradley Roby. The ball was stripped free. The Patriots will recover at the 12-second mark. However, Denver still leads by two. Denver denying the Patriots on the two-point conversion attempt. And now the Pats' last hopes rest with an onside kick attempt from Steven Gostkowski.
Why do we play that? It's the last time the Patriots played a road playoff game. 2015 AFC title game in Denver. That wasn't the final call, but for all intents and purposes, that was the ball game. So they came up short on the two-point conversion. Brady had Gronkowski in the back corner. He tried to go to Edelman short. Got deflected by Aqib Talib, I think.
Aqib Talib deflected it, correct.
And there you go. So that's just sort of a lead into something we'll start to hit on here as well, and that is the Patriots on the road in general. In general. We all know they haven't won a road playoff game since the 06 divisional game in San Diego.
Right.
12 years ago. Which sounds dramatic, and you know, like Shaughnessy does a great job of sort of hyping that stat. They haven't won on the road in 12 years. They're not a road team. They don't go on the road and win in the playoffs. They haven't done it in 12 years. They haven't done it since freaking George Bush was president. Who was president then?
Bush.
Yeah, you know, it's like, so Shaughnessy does a great job of doing that. And it's, you know, it's technically correct. They've only played three games. So it's like, I sort of throw that, I don't know what kind of road playoff team they are because they never do it. I don't think the sample's big enough. So I don't hold their road playoff woes against them. Because when you only play three, you're in the playoffs every effing year, but you play only three road games in 12 years? That's amazing.
Yeah, according to Bill, it doesn't matter whether you're home or on the road.
But please.
But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that just speaks to their concentration level and their, you know, attention to detail during the regular season to always get these home games. So they deserve credit for that. But three games, you know, two of them at Denver? Like, that's not... I don't have a sample to know whether they're a good or bad road playoff team. I really don't. I can tell you for sure this regular season they were a bad road team. That's a fact. That's not an opinion. They were not a good road team this regular season. Are they a bad road playoff team? I don't know. I don't think it's fair to... I think with only three games and two of them being in Denver, that's... I don't know. There's not enough of a sample.
Yeah, to me, the more pertinent data comes from this year. I mean, again, you know... What they did in 06 is, you know, the only guy left is Brady, right? No, but nobody else was even around other than Bill.
Nope. Meathead. Gostkowski was here.
Oh, right.
He kicked the game winner. He was a rookie.
Right. So he was here, right? Meathead.
I think they call him Meat. Whatever.
Okay. So look, but that aside, like, I look at it and say, now, wait a minute, because to me, this all spins off of last weekend. Yeah, did you see how good the Pats looked? Yeah, I saw it. I did. Now, if you can tell me that they'll repeat it this week, now we've got something. Because the fact is that whatever it was that was on the field last Sunday doesn't necessarily translate. And I believe in the health factor and all of that, but this year on the road, they sucked. They were 3-5 on the road. We don't need to rattle off the places they lost either. Detroit, Jacksonville, who sucked this year. You go right down the road. Pittsburgh, Miami, and I'm missing one.
Maz, even the wins... At Jets, at Buffalo, the first halves of those games were way more competitive than they should have. And then the game in Chicago, they came within a yard of having to play overtime.
Okay, so before the playoffs started, we were talking about the Patriots' point differential.
I think Detroit was the one you may have left out.
I said Detroit.
Did you say Detroit?
Yeah. So anyway, but we were talking about their point differential before the postseason, saying they were plus 111 for the year, plus 110 in the division. So I'll tell you what, let's just stick to home and road, okay? Their point differential this year at home... Patriots were number one in the league. I mean, you could argue they were the best home team in football. They went 9-0. I mean, and I'm doing just regular season now. I'm including San Diego. But regular season, they were the number one team in the league in point differential. On the road, point differential on the road, 17th. I mean, that's a big drop. That is a big-ass drop. And so you want to say, okay, fine. What about the offense? Okay, offense at home, points four. At home, the Patriots, third in the league. On the road, points four. On the road, 19th. Their defense on the road, 20th in points now per game. So how does a team go from being a top three team in the league, offensively, basically defensively, point differential, and go on the road and you're below average?
So it's usually teams that aren't mentally tough. Or it's teams, I think, you'll find that have controlled environments. Dome teams, you know, struggle on the road, warm weather teams. So it's typically not the quote-unquote battle-tested veteran Northeast team that would have that sort of road record.
No, no, which is why I think this team, and again, it could change this week. Who the hell knows? But I'm telling you, during the regular season, mentally soft. Mentally soft. They're all good. Everything's great when they get 70,000 people behind them screaming and they can dig in and fight. When they have to do it with 70,000 screaming against them, they can't do it. So now this is it's a fascinating scenario this weekend because now you're going to Kansas City, but you got weather. So the weather, in theory, should help you. But if this were a road game played in normal conditions, I think they should be a double-digit underdog based on the numbers now, on the numbers. If you go by, because Kansas City's been more consistent home and road in terms of where they rank now, scoring, defense, all. Although the Kansas City defense at home versus on the road, huge difference.
Give me that discrepancy if you have the actual
okay,
number.
Okay, sure. So points against on the road, Kansas City ranks 31st in the league. They give up 35 points a game. At home, 6th.
Wow.
They give up 18. This is just regular season now. 18 points a game at home, 6th in the league. On the road, 34.6, 31st.
So I'm not going to ask you to do it, but I think a lot of that has to do with their schedules. You know, they play the Patriots on the road. I think they had a tougher road schedule. But still, that's dramatic. So maybe there's something about their defense. You know, it's a...
Their defense is mentally soft.
So I don't get their defense because they have players. I don't know why their defense sucks so bad.
Their players up front.
Yes, right. Their secondary has nobody. But, you know, Houston and those guys, I mean, you got some guys up there who can play.
They're game wreckers.
Well, so maybe the defensive thing really plays into their pass rush because they get off with the crowd noise and silent snap counts. And, you know, we've seen that in Denver all the time. So maybe that helps those pass rushers. But the Kansas City defense should be better than it is.
I mean, isn't that unbelievable? The 6th best defense in the league at home, 31st on the road.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, that's insane.
So should we believe in the Patriots this week, just home road?
No.
No, based on the sample size of this year on the road, and I think it is big enough, then no. It's why I'm taking the Chiefs, because the Pats on the road this year sucked. Sucked, even in the wins.
I mean, again, if you were to go just by the numbers, the averages that Kansas City scores at home versus the Patriots scoring on the road, right? Like, just take those numbers. Patriots should be a double-digit underdog in this game. Now, it's a 3.5, okay? And again, that factors in the whole season, so I'm probably on the high side.
Does it move to the half? It started 3.
So I'll double-check. I thought it was, you're right, it started 3, and it is still a 3. 3.5 is the other game. 3.5 is the Rams-Saints game. So I look at it and say, there is nothing. There has been nothing that happened during the regular season to suggest that the Patriots can go on the road and win this game. Nothing. But, you know, they played well last week. Bad weather.
But if we're, again, basing it on sample size, so again, people are going to hear this and be like, oh, you guys are being too negative. Okay, you have a big sample size to take from this year, the Patriots on the road, and the same with at home. So as great as they were last year against really good competition in the Chargers, they looked like that against every team at home this year. They dominated at home. So they have sample size.
And they're just historically, again, people are saying, and maybe it's happening, right? But, you know, they flipped the switch, it's the playoffs, now they're getting serious, and it's sort of like they were saving it, now they flipped the switch.
So it could be that, sure.
It could be, and I guess I'll really find out this week if that's the case. They've just never really been that in the past. You know, when they finished with the lower seed, when they had problems during the regular season, they finished with the lower seed and they had to go on the road, they've lost. I mean, that's just their record. It's their track record. For 12 years, it's been their track record. I'm not telling you they're a bad road team, because again, I don't know if that's enough of a sample. I'm just telling you what's happened. They haven't been that team that's gone on the road and won to go to the Super Bowl. They haven't. Last time they did that was 2004. So now we're talking 14 years ago. And that's really...
And that's the best team of all time that they had.
No, it was an amazing team.
The team was a wagon.
And they did it in 2001, and that was... You know, so I mean, we're talking quite a while ago now. They also haven't had the opportunities. But I'm just telling you, that flip the switch thing hasn't really... They haven't really been that team. So maybe they started to show it last week. You know, I was wrong about last week. I'll probably be wrong about this one. Lord knows. When I try and pick football games, I usually am.
If this game were played in 35-degree weather, I'm telling you, Kansas City's a no-brainer.
But if they're, you know, the flip-the-switch thing, this would be the first. You know, this would be one of those times. It would be the first time I've seen them do it. They generally don't flip the switch. So, back to your phones. Do you like cold weather? Do you like these games as a fan? Or does it ruin it? Does it prevent these teams from being at their best and, you know, sort of dull the product? Because it should be a shootout, right? But it probably won't be. Do you like that or not like that? Your thoughts on your faith in the Patriots on the road and mixing in some Celtics as well. I think the season is tonight. Season is on the line. I'll write back to your phones on all that right after this.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong. Sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Peyton Manning is in victory formation. And the quarterback of the Broncos will take the knee. Drops to the left knee. And Denver celebrates. The Broncos have beaten the Patriots in the AFC Championship 26-16. Congratulations to Peyton Manning, John Fox, and the entire Broncos organization. For the Patriots, for the words might ring hollow right now, nonetheless, a disappointing end to still what was a fabulous ride through 2013 en route to a 12-win campaign.
There's a 2013 call. You can sense the trend. We go over the last three. I'll just give you a sample of what it sounded like at the end of the last three road playoff games for the Patriots. Back to your phones, as promised. Devin and Malden. Go ahead, Devin.
Hey, guys. I have two quick points. I was wondering if you thought Mahomes being a rookie will have an impact on this game. And then I was wondering if you thought that the Patriots have the edge in the coaching battle. Thanks, guys.
They absolutely have the edge in the coaching battle. That's obvious. And maybe, last week we sort of questioned it shows us he should have another big advantage here. It'll be less in terms of scheme, though. Like, you know Andy Reid can scheme it.
No question.
All right, so last week's problem with the Chargers was their schemes were just, woof. I don't think it's going to happen with the Chiefs. You know, and Bob Sutton's their defensive coordinator. He's a lot of experiences with the Jets. He's faced the Patriots a lot. I mean, I would just – and he's more multiple. Sutton runs a lot of different stuff. So I think the game plans will be there for the Chiefs. It's the in-game stuff with Andy Reid always. Too conservative, the clock, the timeouts, all that. You know, we talked yesterday about what's the Andy Reid buffer. If you're a Chiefs fan, what do you have to be ahead by in the fourth quarter to feel comfortable – against what Andy Reid is ultimately going to do, which is either slow the game up when he should be speeding it up or speed it up when he should be slowing it down, you know? And I said 9 points. The Andy Reid buffer is 2 scores. So these guys were higher. Bedard was 17.
I was going to say, I thought you were going to set up the Bedard line. Bedard said 17. But he also had a great stat. Belichick defenses in Foxborough have given up 40 points 4 times, 3 of them to Andy Reid.
So the scheme, Reid can scheme it. There's no question about it. What was his first question? When you give me 2 points, I never...
Pat Mahomes is a rookie.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes.
Does that go out the window in this game after a full season?
So look, I say yes. And first of all, he's not a rookie. It's his second year. What year was Brady in when they won the Super Bowl?
Second year.
Huh, that's interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Funny how that didn't apply here then, but it applies now.
That's interesting.
So what I will say, though, what applies with Mahomes is his... you know, his willingness or, you know, penchant for taking chances. Like, that is a factor.
Well, in some of these bigger games on the road this year, L.A., Seattle, I'm thinking of, here. I don't know. He's made some dumb decisions at the worst possible times, and I just feel like there is a tightness thing of, if call it Farvian aspect to his game. Like, I'm waiting for that other shoe to drop.
Well, he was tight to start this game. He was something to start this game. I thought his problems were early, not late, Murray.
But still, to come right out, and he threw that pick almost immediately to Dante Hightower, remember?
He was confused.
Early. In the second half, he was nails. First half, he missed a couple touchdowns through the pick.
Right.
So, I don't know if he was tight early. I mean, I don't know. Second year in the league, after 18 games, 17 games, you still count him as a rookie? I don't know. Maybe. Wayne in Yarmouth. Go ahead, Wayne.
I love it. I think this is great, having this kind of weather for this game. And I think it puts the spotlight on so many aspects of it, including coaching, which you've already just mentioned. But, you know, in-game adjustments in this kind of weather make all the difference. So who do you think's going to have the edge from that standpoint?
I think it's probably you. You know, in-game adjustments, I'd give it to you. because Andy Reid, I think Bedard was talking about this yesterday. Reid's great. His script is unbelievable, right? His prepared game plan. When you ask him to, you know, make that adjustment, how is he? Probably not as strong. And his clock work is just atrocious. It's just been a disaster forever. Well, you know, I like the weather games too. I'm just telling you, there's a case to be made that it gives you something less than a real football game or doesn't let these teams be their best. But what it brings into play is all these other things that, like, we don't even really know that I would love to be privy to. Like, what temperature would they keep the locker room to best be, you know, do you let the guys stand by the heater or do you not let them? Do you heat the seats or you don't heat the seats? Do you wear sleeves, not wear sleeves? You're trying to act like a tough guy and not wear the sleeves, but you do wear the sleeves. So what do you do? You know, like all these little tiny things that they must do to get ready or to survive it or to, you know, either get their team to think about it or not think about it. Like all the, like, that have nothing to do with covering Tyreek Hill or containing Patrick Mahomes or should we run it or pass it. Like this whole other subset of things is what this game becomes. Which either you like or you don't like.
I love it. I love it because I think with all that other stuff, when you snap the ball, you're still going to be able to block it all out and play. Like, that's the part I like. I know this. If I were a lineman, I'd keep my hands warm so I could grab. Because otherwise, if my hands are cold and I can't grab anything, I'm screwed.
You're a quarterback. Do you wear gloves or not?
Yes.
Brady went through a stretch where he wore gloves. When's the last time he really wore? Did he wear a glove against Jacksonville last year when he ripped his hand? But was that the left hand or the right hand?
That was the left-hand thumb.
Yeah. I can't remember anything anymore. Like, I just, never mind, you give me 2 points. I ultimately always forget the first. He wore a glove on his throwing hand, or was that his offhand?
No, offhand.
It was his offhand. But remember when Brady used to wear, he screwed around with wearing a glove on his throwing hand?
Yeah, I'd wear gloves in this game. I would.
Peyton Manning used to wear a glove. Does Mahomes, here's another little one. One of the reasons he went eight instead of first, he had whittle hands. His whittle hands. They start, you know, this has become a thing. They measure your hands, and they care about what your hand size is. Which, again, I'll get my ball gag. I don't know, like, what we're doing here, but they want the big hands. And Mahomes apparently had undersized hands.
Like, so, didn't Jimmy G have undersized hands?
So, but how does that translate to cold weather? Do you not get as good of a grip on it? It gets blah, 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 blah.
Better circulation because the blood doesn't have to travel as far.
All these things are on the table this week.
He's got saucy hands.
Here's Timmy in Tewksbury. Hi, Tim.
Hey, what's up? Hey, I love the bad weather. The weather, as a fan, love watching it. But if it gives the Patriots an advantage, it's probably not a huge advantage. It's only cold. It's not like it's wind. It's like, you know.
It's going to be windy, too.
The World Cup fumble in the overtime when Bill deferred. But I was at the snow game and the Tennessee game. I just don't think cold's going to be a huge difference maker. Home field is huge.
Okay, home field's huge. If it's 20, if it's like last week, the weather was not a factor last week. It just wasn't. In the 20s, sun, no wind. Non-factor. It really wasn't. When you get down to 5, I'm sorry. That's a factor. That's a different ballgame.
I mean, to me, it's really like single digits. You know,
and it is going to be wind. There's going to be a wind chill below zero. So that's a different kettle of fish.
Now, if the thing changes, like, you know what I mean, this is one of those ones that you don't place the bet until, you know, 10 minutes before kickoff. Like, you wait and see what it is. I just think the cold, to me, slows the game down. You just can't move as fast. I'm sorry, you can't.
And you're okay with that?
Yes, totally. Absolutely I am.
Some people are.
Becomes a more physical power game, absolutely.
Tom in East Longmeadow, you like cold weather games as a fan?
Not this cold. Absolutely not. And it's funny, you guys haven't brought up anything about the fans. I think, and this is going to, you're going to think this is off the rocker. This isn't just bad weather, guys. This is extremely dangerous weather for the fans. They're not thinking about the fans. Just like you wouldn't play if it was a lightning storm or a hurricane or a tornado, there's no way you should be playing the game at 5 degrees. They should postpone it to either Monday or Tuesday night. Not going to give any team a competitive advantage. They've got 2 weeks for the Super Bowl. It's a disgrace if they play that game, because if you're a fan, I've been at games, and you guys have had 20 to 25, you're not happy. It's cold. But when it gets down to 8 to 5 degrees, who in the hell says you got to play the game? you don't have to play the game.
All right.
And it's a lousy attitude for 60,000 fans who are going to – there's going to be some cardiac arrest, hey, hypothermia.
Hey, Tom.
There's going to be health issues. If you want to talk
Tom,
about
Tom, stop a Tom. Woo, okay.
There's going to be a big right. lawsuit. Matt, I got to
call. Oh, my
Tom,
God.
No, shut up.
He doesn't stop.
It's insufferable.
I was going to ask him real quick where he went to college.
Why would you ask him for more?
BC? Did you go to BC? A little bad weather. Are we going to cancel the game? Sorry, go.
They've done it in Kansas City before. They did it a couple of years ago with an ice storm.
Yeah, the ice we can understand because, you know, you can't drive on it, much to, you know, the dismay of Felger over here who thinks he can drive through any other condition.
That is so lame. They're worried about people. What, yeah.
Play.
They're worried about Murray being able to drive through a little bit of ice.
Ice is bad. It's dangerous. You shouldn't be on the roads. We had that argument at the time.
Oh, my God.
This
that
cold,
was so lame.
This, just put on extra blankets. Wear thermals. Pee yourself to keep warm. There's ways around this.
One of the things I love about football, hell or high water. Play.
Okay,
play.
So I'm looking this up. I'm trying to do it on the fly. Of course, I can't do it. Maybe someone can help me. I thought someone did pass away during the Ice Bowl.
The snow game?
Yeah.
Here? Yeah.
Oh, no, no, no.
Oh.
Oh, that happened here, too?
Yeah, yeah. Guy had a heart attack at that Pats-Oakland game in 2001.
Yeah. Oh, whoops. Was it when Adam made the kick, or was it because of the cold?
That I can't speak to. I know I would have probably died in that stadium when Adam made that kick, so yeah.
I don't know why. It just stuck in my head that someone did die during the Ice Bowl in Green Bay, and it was because of the cold. I don't know if someone could look. I've just tried to start Googling it. I can't now. I'm too frustrated. If someone can, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I don't know. I thought I heard that somewhere.
Look, hold on,
McCarthy. You know this? How do you know? We just Googled it? I can't hear you. Again.
Just Googled it.
Yeah, so I mean, it is dangerous. It does get to a point where someone died during the Ice Bowl because it was too cold.
Yes, listen, I don't dispute the fact that it is dangerous for fans. You don't have to go.
Well, this is true.
You don't have to go. And so, to me, I like seeing people push to their limits. And a football game in those sorts of elements pushes guys to their limits. That's what I like to see.
Joe and Beverly, go.
Yeah, Mike, I watched the NFL Network, and I think when they had the cover on the field, I think the condensation came up through the ground, and that's what froze it. I could be mistaken.
No.
I saw on the NFL Network about a year ago.
Yes, sir. You're talking about the... We're back on the Ice Bowl in 1967. Yes, that is what happened. But if the heating was still working, it wouldn't have been a factor. Lombardi heated the field. He started that. And his heating system broke that day. So that's why all the condensation, yes, the tarp was on it, the condensation got trapped, and that's why it turned into a sheet of ice. Normally, so that's not going to happen this week. I mean, I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen. But the Kansas City field's heated as well. It's heated.
I mean, a lot of them are now, yeah.
So it should be... It shouldn't be the frozen tundra. But if it breaks, or does there, Maz, minus 12 degrees Celsius?
If 10 Fahrenheit.
If it hits 10, is there a point where it's too cold for the heating to work? Because that happens too in every environment. Whatever you have for heating as a heating source, sometimes it just gets too cold and it ain't going to work.
I mean, I think if you were in mid single digits, you're in that area. Again, it just everything freezes faster. It's ridiculous. You remember years ago, like nobody cares. In Minneapolis, they had some minus 20 weather one year or something. A guy would throw a pitcher of water in the air and it would crystallize. Like it reaches that point for crying out loud. And so you're going to have one of those nights Sunday.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts. Do you like that kind of game? Murray's update is right now, and then we're right back.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Tannehill throws down the middle, caught by Stills. Laterals back to Parker, who flips it to Drake. He runs across the 40 of New England, angling inside.
Oh,
25.
No, 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 no,
20,
no, 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 no.
15. Tannehill's going to win the full race to the end zone.
He's
the Dolphins are going to win it.
Are you shitting me?
And the lateral. Twice, and Drake takes it in, and the Patriots stand stunned in disbelief.
Where the f*** are they all?
I don't know what
down.
To say.
What the f***?
I've never seen anything like that.
Was it Gronk back there?
Yeah, Gronkowski deep. He almost blows his knee out trying to get to the sideline.
You've got to be kidding me. That last play will linger as really one of the worst memories in Patriots history, at least with the recent past.
That summarizes everything down here. It really does.
Oh, get ready to f***. Never forget this one.
The Dolphins have won it over the Pats, 34-33.
Are you shitting me?
Sorry to play that again, but we do it to set up Murray, who, as we discuss, home road and road and road and road. He just can't help but just have to scratch that itch, don't you, Murray?
Yeah, I do. And I know, look, because the NFL, probably more than any other sport, lives up to the cliches of, you know, you are what your record says that you are and you get what you deserve. So 11-5, they missed the number one seed and home field throughout. But I don't know, man. This just reeks to me of 2015, where the difference in the conference championship was ultimately, without question, home field. They have Denver here in 2015. They win that game. 2013, that's different. That team was a wagon. Patriots were just lucky to even get to that game. 2015, if that game's here, they win it. You don't have Steve Gostkowski missing extra points and them trying to get a two-point conversion to tie it to get into overtime and all that nonsense at the end. They win that game. They go to the Super Bowl. They beat the Carolina Panthers. This, I don't know, because of a coaching decision by Belichick with having Gronk on the field and the way that they blow that game, it feels like 2015, where they treated the end of December all willy-nilly, and they're handing off to Steven Jackson 14 straight times in Miami. Ah, we'll be fine. Home field, what's it matter? It bit you in the ass. And they lose this game on Sunday, and because of it's something that feels like it has to do with the fact they're playing it on the road, like, you know, the kicker missing a kick or an extra point or something like that, how can you not sit here on Monday and be like, you blew it. You missed your opportunity.
I mean, really, when you weigh it out, like when you boil it down to that one play, holy crap, that's what's going to cost you a trip to the Super Bowl, maybe?
I think it was more than that play. But you deserve to lose that game.
Okay, but that was, you know, that's sort of the symbolizes it,
sure.
The one that's symbolic of it. But really, I'll tell you what, take it further. If you had just gone 500 on the road, the game would be here.
Yeah, you also had Detroit. You also had Jacksonville. You also had Tennessee. You had some other winnable road games.
Sure.
I mean, all you had to do was go 500 on the road.
Maybe dirt the ball in the end of the second quarter in Miami as opposed to taking the sack. I don't know. Maybe not chucking up a Drew Bledsoe special in Pittsburgh inside the red zone. I mean, there's a million of those you could go back to.
Unbelievable. Like, really, the conference opened it up for the Patriots to seize it if they had just gone 4-4 on the road.
So who knows what's going to happen, and I hope that I'm wrong, but it just feels like to me, again, the NFL always lives up to its cliches, seemingly. So you get what you deserve. You got what you deserve playing this game on the road, and if they lose it and it's tight, I, as the pessimistic a-hole I am, I can't not look at that and be like, you blew it again. You should have had home field.
Tony in Holbrook. Hi, Tony.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Hey, if we remember the 2002 Patriots-Raiders game, weather could not get any worse than that. I mean, it snowed throughout the whole game.
So what are you saying?
I just think it's going to be a advantage Belichick over Reed.
Of course. Well, I mean, I could give you anything and you would think it's Belichick over Reed. Of course. How is the weather? I mean, stylistically, it benefits the Patriots because it slows the Chiefs down. That I get. How does Belichick have it over Reed just outside of the scheme? You know, I mean, outside of the way the Chiefs are built.
I'm not sure he does.
I mean, does Kansas City not play in that exact environment?
No. So that's the thing. It's like, you know, you go back to the Snow Bowl and you say, well, Oakland was a West Coast team. I mean, there's a difference there, right? Like, it doesn't snow in the Bay Area, for crying out loud. So this game, the cold in Kansas City is worse than it is in New England. The extremes that they get there in that part of the country, and the summers are worse, too, off the charts. So, like, you're not getting any sort of break there. To me, the big variable, Kansas City's faster. They're faster than you. I don't think that's remotely debatable. They're probably the fastest team in the league, for crying out loud.
And it slows them down.
Yes, so that's the game. Now, if their offensive line plays well and steamrolls you and they have power football to complement it, well, then it's not going to matter. But power football is going to be important.
Steven Wooster, go ahead, Steve.
Hey, guys. I channel my Greg Bedard and I watch the NFL All 22. And it just so happens that I heard you guys say several times, along with Bedard, that you do not want to blitz these guys. Mahomes was actually 1-for-3 with 1 yard and 2 sacks. And the other point I wanted to bring up real quick is, Blakeman, the Patriots have won basically 3 out of 4 games for the last 20 years, and somehow this guy is 3-5. How is that mathematically possible? Like, why is that not getting any play? That has WWE written all over it, that he's, out of all the referees, he's reffing this game.
Steve, go back to the kids' table, dude. The first thing, I don't even know what you're talking, your numbers don't add up. I don't know what the hell you were talking about there with the blitz. Does Mahomes have bad numbers against the blitz?
I don't know.
On Cleet Blakeman, the referee, I think you drew a good ref there. I think that's a good draw for
this
you.
This thing's driving me crazy.
I know. This one's sending me up the wall, too.
We don't need to engage it. That's for the kids' table. Honestly, if you want to complain about Cleet Blakeman because he caught you cheating, then you have to go to the kids' table.
Can I just say real quick, though?
We're the adults' table. And I think he's a good draw. He
called one penalty on them in the AFC Championship game last year. One.
Yeah, he refed you against Jacksonville. He refed you last year in the AFC title game and called one penalty on you and gave you a huge break on what should have been a fumble. Miles Jack stripped, was it Deion Lewis? It was, I can't remember who the
ball, what a play,
the ball
right.
carry was, but Miles Jack stripped the ball. It was a fumble. It was too close to call, so it wasn't overturned on replay. But I think Cleet Blakeman's an excellent draw for you. Excellent. He helped you win the AFC title game last year, and you can't hold it against the fact that you were cheating. I mean, everyone knows you were deflating balls. Everyone acknowledges it, and he caught you doing it. So yeah. How do you – it's like – it's just – No. Go to the kids' table.
I'd rather sit at the kids' table.
Normally you would. Long commercial segment is next.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Yeah, again, we're going to have to stop the whole offense. It's not one guy. The quarterback's good. The backs are good. Tight ends are good. Receivers are good. Line's good. Coach is good. I mean, they're all good.
Belichick today on stopping Patrick Mahomes. Says it's more than just him. It does start with him, though. I'm sorry. It starts with him. And I just wonder what, you know, I think all of our X's and O's analysis, it's just, it may be for naught because it may just be a game of survival and not an actual football game. And some people like that. Some people don't. That's sort of what we're talking about. We're sort of taking a step back and saying, do you like these games? Do you like these extreme condition games? Paul Perillo is going to come here in about 10 minutes. He does not like them. And I don't want to put words in his mouth. He'll explain why he does not like them. But I don't think he's alone. And I think there's a case to be made for each. I do happen to like them. I think it weeds out the fraudulent teams, weeds out the softness. But you're not going to get these teams at their best because they're going to be worried about all sorts of things other than football.
Do you think the league likes it? The NFL now? I'm talking about the league office.
No. I think they want 43-40 again.
See, that's what I think, too. Although I have to believe that a weather game would do huge TV ratings.
So that's the other side of the coin, too. People love lighting a fire, curling up in their jammies, and watching a cold football game, a snow football game. They love it. They like watching a cold hockey game on New Year's Day. Those ratings are great because people just like watching it. It's a good visual. So absolutely, Maz. So maybe it does help the ratings. I honestly think when you get to this level, these two games and then the Super Bowl, it really doesn't matter who's in it or what the conditions are. Everyone is just so trained to go watch those games. And I think the numbers are going to be what they are no matter what. Do you like these games? Eustace and Natick. Go ahead, Eustace.
I enjoy weather games unless I think the team I'm rooting for might be adversely affected.
Right.
And I just checked four of the latest weather forecasts for Kansas City, and three of them have game time temps in the high teens. So I think it's a little early to call the weather.
Oh, I don't know about that. I haven't heard that.
So a bunch of people have sent emails to me indicating the same sort of thing. I checked it on weather.com, and it does say 18. But the what I heard is that the way I initially heard the report was there's going to be an Arctic blast in there that's going to just cool the thing down ridiculously. So, look, this is why I say, you know, really, we're not going to know until Sunday, but there's a very real chance that this thing's going to be played in 5-degree weather.
John in Seekonk. Hi, John.
Hi, how you doing? Hey, I just wanted to ask you guys what you thought about them restarting the field in Kansas City today between the hash marks and one of the end zones, which I saw on Zoe and Bertrand earlier today.
So what do you think of it?
I think the Patriots can run on Kansas City, but with the new turf 4 days before the game and that not being able to seat in very well is going to be loose footing and possibly slow the game down more.
Okay.
Top of the weather.
All right. We'll see. I don't know. They put the new side down to try and make it better. So that's obviously what they're doing there. I wonder if he was talking about another like anti-Patriots conspiracy there. Carlton in Tampa. Here's a little antidote for that. Hi, Carlton.
The whiny baby Patriots fan who was complaining about Cleet Blakeman is why the rest of the country hates Patriots fans, guys. Jacksonville was called for 98 penalty yards last year. The Patriots for 10, and the refs botched the Miles Jack touchdown recovery of it. And it wasn't because it was too close. Baylor.
Oh, that's what happened. That's right.
27-10, and you wouldn't have gone to the Super Bowl, whiny baby Patriots fans. But the reason I'm calling is because I wanted to tell Carolyn in the car that she has problems with my negativity. She can kiss my shiny tuchus. Tell Carolyn that the Patriots, the Belichick Patriots, have never won a road playoff game in which Ernie Adams wasn't calling in the opponent's defensive signals into Tom Brady's helmet. Never. Not once. So Bill's about to have his second brain freeze of the season.
Carlton, you're leaving it out. They haven't won a road playoff game since they've been able to tape and deflate footballs. They were doing, it was the double whammy back in 03 and 04, 05, that era. They were doing both.
Oh, but they really started the deflation scheme when they put McNally in the officials' locker room in 2007.
Too. That's true.
Okay, that's when they really upped it. But Bill's going to have a second brain freeze of the season Sunday, guys. His first one being when he put Gronk on the field in Miami, which is the only reason Bill is in KC this Sunday. And you guys got to know, the Death Star in Foxborough hears all the negativity from the Carltons of the world. And I sent all of you toolboxes proof positive of that in an audio clip I sent yesterday.
I got it.
Stephen A., last January, after he attended Kraft's AFC Championship party at Kraft's house. Play that, guys. But my negativity is going to continue until you get rid of a coach who thinks sportsmanship and fair play is a foreign concept. So kiss my keister, Carolyn in the car.
Clearly, I'll be singing Sunshine Day as Carlton from Tampa in just a few minutes.
Okay. I did get a suggestion about the Sunshine Day.
Oh?
Well.
Oh. Yes. But you know what? That's how it has to get done.
We do have the ball gag handy.
I love it.
So, and I should be the one to do it.
Yep. There it is.
I'm a little disappointed. I've come to realize the reason it doesn't work exactly right is because it's a woman's ball gag.
Oh.
It's for a gal. So I think this thing should fit over my head and the ball should really...
So you bought the woman's size.
Fill my mouth. I don't know what I did. I guess I bought the woman's one, which I'm disappointed.
You can loosen up the buckles.
I want a man's ball gag. I want a ball gag for a man.
You can find that online.
I can. I know, but then I'm a little cheap now. I got to order two ball gags. The wood's going to start to wonder what's going on.
Right. Expensive.
I want a male. I want a big, burly dude's ball gag. Because you know why, Murray?
Well, I'm sure there's a leather daddy that can help you out there, Felger. But go ahead.
Let me go to Amazon.
But here's why. I want it to hurt. I want it to hurt. I want it to hurt. Because I am take committed, right? I have from day one, this is not the Patriots' year. They're not going to do it. You know, and it all started, if you missed it, in August, I said McBone was in here. McCone was reading updates. I said, if Brady leads this team to the Super Bowl, you can ball gag me and throw me in the corner, do whatever you want. So I have a huge bet on this, a take bet on this. And if I lose it, it's going to be painful. So I want it to hurt. I want McBone to ball gag me and kick me in the gonads, right? I want, because it's going to, I have to talk to you people on that Monday and like, oh, that whole 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl, it's going to be a rough 2 weeks for this kid. So just make it hurt. So I want a real ball gag. Can I get a male ball gag?
I'm working on it.
Thank you. But maybe
there's one that comes with a soft leather choker and collar and fur-lined necklace.
I don't need the fur-lined. I just need a big rubber ball.
And a leash.
I don't need any of that. I just need the ball to really fill my mouth and for me to get the strap over my head.
It doesn't quite.
The buckles are just, you should be able to finagle
it. It's okay.
Headphones aren't helping.
It's not
right,
perfect.
Yeah.
I want a male ball guy. I want a full ball guy.
Oh, I think that one fits.
Yeah.
You know those videos? We've all seen them where the dude like gets kicked in the gonads by somebody. Like there's a whole series of these clips of guys who like to get kicked in the crotch. That's what I want McCone to do to me. Because it's going to, I want it to hurt. So I want a real, not a female ball gag. I want the ball gag that the dudes use. When the dudes are going ball gag, that's the ball gag I want. I want it to hurt.
I told you, if and when this debt is paid, it has to happen on Radio Row at the Super Bowl.
No, I told him the corner was going to be right over there. You'll have visual evidence of some kind. But anyway, Paul Perillo, Sunshine Day standing.
Oh, look, there's a pink one here.
Okay, we'll get him in studio right after Murray's update. 90 seconds, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.